podcast, the English Language for Off Cover Nerd podcast that nobody asked for the benefit of anyone new tuning in, because we were in the media briefly over the last week. My name is David.
And I'm wearing a beaker and glasses.
Yeah.
No, I'm Sam. Hello.
Thanks for pointing out that wonderful bit of Google Translation. A beaker and round glasses.
Oh, was it round glasses?
Round glasses.
My mistake, David.
I know. How dare you? Anyway, we're coming to you sort of vaguely live, as normally, from the living room of my house.
Live from the beach in Barbados, because we are on winter break.
That's right, we're on winter break. Forget I said the living room of my house. Imagine...
That's a gull. Because gulls coming over the beach.
Good.
In dolphin.
That's where we are. Anyway, let's not start that again. Let's just keep on ploughing through this catastrophe of an opening.
I love that this is going to be the first thing that new listeners
to the podcast.
A lot of people
will hear. Yeah. It's actually a lot more professional than some of the openings we've done. I'm quite pleased with it. We had sound effects in there. Yeah. it's been solid so far. What have we got to talk about today, anyway?
We've got two games to talk about.
Yes. No previews, obviously, because the winter break is on its way.
We're previewing Zhizhkov in March.
but we have got a beer of the podcast, which is very nice. And if we've got time, I hope we will. I'm going to say it now, so that means we are going to have time. We're going to do a bit of a roundup of the second division season so far.
And I've got a very interesting thing for you as part of it, which you haven't seen.
I haven't seen.
But we're going to reveal all later on in the podcast.
All right, so without further ado, let's get on with it, shall we? So the first report we've got for you is away to Trinets 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Oh, of course, because the international break.
Yep. So, yeah, seems a very long time ago now, as indeed it was a long time ago.
Seemed a very long time getting there, I'll say that.
A very long time getting there, because we had to get up very, very early for a train at 4 minutes past six in the morning.
Yes.
The idea being that we would get to Ostrava Svinov just before the connection. We had a gap of 6 minutes, which I didn't think was going to be enough, because I assumed the train was going to be late anyway, but no fear. We had another 25 minutes before another connection. And we missed that too. Thanks, Český dráhy, for that one. We got into Ostrava Svinov about 43, 45 minutes late. So we had 20 minutes to wait for the next train, which got us into Trinets 15 minutes after kickoff.
We then went around the wrong way into the home section.
The stadium in Trinets is more of a Sportovny Areal. So there is a kind of athletic stadium. Then there's a football stadium attached to it, which is a very weird thing.
Well, there's two pitches. This is the thing. And they seem to have... because the pitch that you walk past on the way to where they're actually playing...
a long, 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 long way around to get
It's very nice. And then you go to this one stand...
Yeah, one stand and then an end, which is kind of a clubhouse in a sort of slightly non-league sort of way. And then the far side is just mining.
Well, the far side, I believe, was there not a dirt track for
That's right. It
bikes?
It was a sort of a BMX track on the far side. And then a hedge behind one of the goals, which is very nice.
Yeah. X-game hosts. Trinets.
We got there with 35 minutes gone. We hadn't missed a lot, apart from James Richardson pun alarm alert. Thank you. Which was Damian Barish had already been Damian banished.
Unbelievable.
For two yellow cards. He was already sent off by the time we got there. Nothing of note had happened, I didn't think.
Did we not hit one off the post? Or am I making this up?
I have no idea.
Because we were the better team, I think, for
we
10
were.
Minutes.
Since,
if
since
you can
we
count
got
that,
there, we looked like
10
we had,
minutes.
Yeah, we looked like we had been doing better, and we looked so much like we'd been doing better that we didn't find out we were down to 10 men until half time when we were told we'd gone down to 10
normally
men.
I don't go into the stadium and count how many players. I assume we have 11.
Yeah. So that was impressive enough. How many Zbrojovaci were there? 20, you reckon? 25,
oh,
maybe?
Oh, much more. I think we had about we had about 40 there.
No.
Yeah, we
surely
did.
Okay.
Well, we had loads there, actually. I thought we had a better turnout than I expected.
Either way, it was very windy and we had trouble getting the flag up at half-time.
It was very windy, but also at the same time quite warm. It was strange.
It was, yeah, it was T-shirt weather, but windy on the Polish border. It was very strange. In the second half, well, we went ahead.
We were dominating for about
the
first quarter of an hour or something along those lines. We could have scored a couple, actually, and we did get the breakthrough.
Yeah, Tonda Rusek came very, very close, I remember. Mm-hmm. He had a chance, and I can't remember who had the other chance, but there was another very a fairly well-saved effort from close range. And then up pops Young Sukup, a very unlikely source of goals, particularly from open play on a far post header.
Yeah.
Which is very odd.
Bullet.
He came up, yeah, absolute bullet, yeah. And then Trinets came back into it. Their equaliser, you can't really say anything against it. It was a bit of a rocket from former Zbrojovac Szymon Szumbera.
Brilliant goal.
Yeah.
Brilliant goal. And then from then on, we decided to be terrible.
Yeah, we decided to Zbrojovka it up again. Like, sat back a bit, and I don't know why they suddenly went into their shell. And they'd been down to 10 men for almost the whole game until this
just,
point.
And then we just decided to completely stand off Trinets as well.
Yeah.
And just invite them in. And that wasn't good, because then the goal was a classic standoff-y sort of thing,
yep,
where we give the guy too much space on the right-hand side, I think, technically, of the field.
On our right, it was. Their left coming forward, yeah.
And just, you know, drills it into hashtag the corridor.
Corridor.
Whatever. And it's bundled over.
Yeah, it's just Zbrojovka. I mean, there was still 25 minutes to go at this point.
Yeah.
And they just sat deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Your man gets to the byline, drills across in. Somebody's going to bundle it in. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, so not many positive really from that. Apparently, Trinets' form at home has been super good. I didn't notice this, but they've been undefeated for several months.
Oh, really?
At home.
Okay.
The one positive that I quite liked was our substitutions, actually, where at least notionally Schuster understood that he just needed to get bodies up there.
Yeah.
So you, I think we subbed on Škoda.
Škoda came on.
We subbed on Little Boy Lost, who didn't do much again.
Mm.
And I think we put on...
Did not Magera come on for a couple of minutes?
I can't remember if Magera was on from the start or not.
No, I can't either, actually. We should have looked at that first.
I think he was on from the start.
And then, I think... Well, we shouldn't speculate, really. I feel like Bart went off because he had another one of his early morning games.
Yeah.
Bartholomew... again, not impressive on a 10:15 a.m.
Yeah, I don't know what's
up with him.
He was
pretty ropey.
Really.
I don't know whether he'd been out on the Raz the night before, but he didn't look sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Although, to be fair, as you will see in the next game, he didn't feature in that either. So maybe he'd done himself a mischief. Was trying to play and was just not quite up to it.
Yeah.
But who knows about that. The other plus side about T-Nets is excellent kebab.
I was going to say, I knew you were going to put that in there. Great kebab.
Fabulously good. It was the only place we could find open that had food, to be fair, at lunchtime on a Saturday. Yeah, but kudos to the guy in there. Made me a gigantic kebab and did a joke he must have done 1,000 times before. The front sort of panel thing where you sort of lean on waiting for your food was a glass. And very, very clean, and there was like a glass front panel, which was so clean I couldn't see it. So he hands me the kebab under the counter. I punch the glass bit, trying to take the kebab. He finds this hilarious, and 5 seconds later, while you're still laughing, does exactly the same to you.
Yeah.
Despite the fact you'd seen me do it, he still managed to get you. Love it.
I'm incredibly impressed that you've been able to actually tell that in a way that might be understood in the medium of
podcasting.
Yeah.
I'll paint a picture with words, don't I?
Yeah, it was, yeah, it's good. You also fucked up the time for us getting home, by the way.
Yeah, by
enjoying the kebab.
Yeah, and also forgetting the time, getting it wrong by 5 minutes. But 5 minutes means you have missed the train. Yeah. So
it was a proper away experience. Just it you was. Know going back on the train, being kind of drunk on 5% battery, and like angrily tweeting Slavia Irsko, passively aggressively tweeting him from the broadcast official account. It was good times.
And I, on that train back, I cracked my head incredibly hard on the luggage rack, which we're both quite tall. I'm 6'2", you're 6'3", you must be. And the luggage rack on those is incredibly low. I came back from the loo, absolutely walloped my head into it.
You did it twice.
I did,
you
did
it
right.
First time wasn't so bad, you were like, ow. And then the second time, you could sort of hear the, or whatever it was. And it was great. And then I just slept all the rest of the journey home, because I'm weak.
So that was our day out in Trinets. What should we do next?
Probably talk about the next game, I guess.
Actually, no.
The next game might not be the league game, but it might be.
Well, no, actually, before all of that, I've got a railway station jingle for you.
Oh,
it's a slight cheat, but I have got a railway station jingle for you.
Play it for
so
me,
So let's
David.
Do that after this. So the reason this week's railway station jingle is a bit of a cheat is because Trinets, not being a massive railway junction, doesn't have its own railway jingle. But we did change Ostrava Svinov, which has a different railway jingle, to Ostrava Hlavák. So we're going to give you a little burst of that, because we're going to save the main one for when stroke if we go to Vítkovice.
When?
Yeah, when. Of course, when. Sorry. And as you may or may not, probably may not know, Ostrava is fairly close to Fridek Místek, which is another town, I guess, close by.
Region, isn't it?
It is a region, yeah. It's a town and a region. Mm-hmm. And this
relegated last season from the Druhelliga.
That's
Fridek.
Right, yeah.
Get it up, you.
Well, yeah, because actually when we were looking at where we were going to go this season, that was actually one of the places we thought
was possible,
and it turns out it wasn't possible. So yeah, the railway station jingle sounds like this.
Fine, short.
And it's based around a piece of music called Okolo Fridku Cestička, which sounds like this. Když jsem šel po ní jedenkrát, slyšel jsem tam muziku pěkně hrát. Slyšel jsem tam muziku pěkně hrát.
Angelic.
Isn't it though? Yeah. That's Joška Černý's version, I think, which is quite difficult to find. All the versions have children singing on them.
I might put that one that we clicked on first up on Twitter, yeah, just for the crack, because it's just weird.
The tiny prison child and the symbols.
The prison child and symbol man who looks like he's some sort of Amish
yes.
lad.
Amish symbol man. The superhero we all need. Yeah, after this we are going to talk about...
We had a friendly.
Are we going to do that in a separate section?
Should we just talk about it now?
Yeah, it was against St. Pölten in Austria.
They're apparently in like fourth in the Austrian Bundesliga.
That league must be terrible because we won 4-0.
Zekel fucking scored twice.
Yes, Zekel scored twice and Prichastel?
Yeah, Prichastel did two.
Did two goals. Yeah.
Shout out to friend of the podcast, Petr Kucha, who...
Hey, Petr Kucha, who is the only...
Who went!
Yes, the only Sprayerback to make it.
He went, and he's been rewarded by seeing Zekel's only two goals of the season.
And
I'm saying that now, knowing that we've still got another eight to play or whatever.
And Jakub Prichystal doing anything on a football pitch.
Yeah.
Which hasn't been seen so far this season. Also, shout out to our one Austrian fan, Elke, who said she was going to go.
There's another German slash Austrian guy as well who's.
You can't say German slash Austrian.
I don't know where he's from, but he tweets in German.
All right, fair enough.
Could be Swiss.
Well, I mean, that's barely German, Swiss German. That's like Martian.
I forget his name, but shout out to him as well.
Yeah, Elke said she was considering going, but apparently there were sort of bridge works or something, which meant she'd have had to do a massive detour.
Elke keeping up the tradition of Zborovka bodying teams when she's not able to watch it.
That's true. She had a great chance to watch that on her own patch. Didn't go. We won, absolutely battered them. So
absolutely battered them, we say, having not seen the game.
It was 4-0, though, to be fair.
Could have been four set pieces. Maybe they just can't do set pieces.
It's also possible. I also think Zekel scoring goals is a mirage. I don't believe that happened. I think maybe this was a sort of, you know, it was a cover-up. Maybe we lost 6-0, but only, you know, on the official site. Oh, yeah, 4-0, Zekel scored, he's great, and Pekistal is alive.
I like the
idea. I don't believe any of these things.
I like the idea of Petr having to be taken out in like a mafia-style sort of, you ain't seen nothing, if that was to happen.
That would be amazing. Unfortunately, we came back to reality when we played Brr and Unburger Tor Vlashim on Friday, which we will talk about next, I suppose. So, on Friday night, the main event of us being briefly spoken to was then spoilt by a football game.
Yes. Full stop.
Full stop. That's and here ends this match report.
Yeah, so we got interviewed, which is nice.
It was nice, yes. Thank you, David.
Thanks, David, for putting up with our nonsense.
Nick Vinda. Da-da-na-na. I feel like I should now be, you know, walking down the side of the dual carriageway carrying 12 bottles of windscreen washer fluid in a carrier bag.
Shout out to Marek Fischer trying to disrupt the interview as
exactly.
well. Hi, Marek.
Exactly. Elected representative Marek Fischer.
Yeah. Member of city council. Spanish engineer, Marek Fischer.
Scoundrel. Absolute scoundrel. Anyway, what happened, Sam?
Well, we got...
Lay it on me.
Right, well, I want to make two corrections, first of all.
Go
because
on.
We will be playing a halftime snippet.
We will.
Where I incorrectly call Vlashim's keeper Nguyen, which is a huge error because he doesn't even play for Vlashim. He plays for Slovan Liberec, and I must have just had a complete brain fade because we played them as well. I was thinking of Li Jiang, who was in goal for our 2-2 draw in the second game of the season. However, I am now reliably told that their keeper was neither of these people.
I thought it was Eric Benik, who is listed as number 27 in the programme, and the goalkeeper was wearing number 27, but it turns out to be Bachkovsky, namely Jan Hugo Bachkovsky.
Love it.
Who had the game of his life, by the way.
Yeah.
What a performance from young Jan Hugo.
Yeah, he didn't have too much to do for the first 20 minutes or so, but that leads me on to my second correction as well, which I might have tweeted that the game kicked off and we gave away a penalty in 10 seconds. I was wrong. It was 16 seconds. So I'm
Excellent
happy to
correction.
Make that correction,
Excellent correction
now. Nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, it was a penalty, but...
it can never not be a penalty.
Yeah,
again,
just nonsense from us.
Yes, it's Vojta Hadaschok, who had another good game, and he had a good game against us, second game of the season.
We actually shouted him out as a danger player before the second game of the season, didn't we? Because
he
has form, he's a former First Division player, mm-hmm. he was of a very decent level at one point.
Yep. And yeah, because he chipped a neat little ball over the top of the defence, and Youssef Dow, who is one of your classic pain in the arse, runs about till he drops player, gets in front of not one, not two, but three Zborovka players, and Melikarek just brings him down.
Yeah, Dow, not a Brummy Homer Simpson being annoyed, by the way. Dow.
Youssef Dow, who has moved, I believe he's not even on loan, he's moved on to pastures new after being picked up by Sparta.
Oh, really?
And trying to, as a youth, and trying to get into the first team,
so, okay.
And that's not really happened. And he was very good, even though he didn't score. He is very much in that sort of player, a bit like Stephen Fletcher against.
I really want to see where you're going with this.
In the sense that he's not going to score. The difference with Dow is fast, Fletcher is not, but always just being a nuisance and trying to get to that ball and just sort of holding things up and being really pacey. Well, not being really pacey because Fletcher isn't, but that sort of like pain in the arse forward.
And they did, from bringing him down for the penalty, they did not learn from then on, because he almost single-handedly was pushing Zbrojovka deeper. I have never seen anyone... And this, I mean, this must have been a team tactic. I was actually trying to take a photo on about half an hour, where we had a goal kick and they had three of their forwards on our 18-yard line. It was such, they were so aggressively lined up, and no team has come to Subska and lined up in that much of an aggressive manner. And they were great value for it. They were up and at us the whole time, weren't they? They were very, very good.
Yeah, we got our first sort of like little bit of hope, I think, maybe around sort of 20 minutes or whatever, where there's a free kick and it's, it tells me here on my notes. Stepanovski crosses it in. And then there's, Milan Lutonski actually does very well to get past his man, put in a diving header and have it on target as well.
Mm.
But it was straight in front of the keeper, really. And then about 10 minutes later, it was just all of a sudden 2-0.
Yeah.
And the most annoying thing about this is it comes from Zbrojovka's possession as well. It's sort of hoofed up as well, and it's just not dealt with at all. It's Yanda, who's then allowed to advance the ball almost 30 yards with nobody bothering to challenge him. It slipped to the wing, the cross is low, Hadaschok, who got the assist for the penalty, if you can call it that, bundles it in. And
love a bit of more corridor of uncertainty action there.
Even before the corridor of uncertainty, I think you have to single out that is the worst performance I've ever seen Shural have. And he was nowhere near where he was supposed to be for a right back.
That actually is...
That wasn't his first error.
I don't want to single him out, but I am going to, and a lot of people will have. That is actually one of the single worst performances of a professional footballer I've seen.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, He's not a fabulous player. He's not even a first division level player. But for this level, he's a good footballer at this level. He's absolutely demonstrably fine at this level. And every single touch he had, you just felt worse and worse for him, because he made some very obvious mistakes early on. And I was listening to the Totally Football show earlier, and they were talking about David Luiz against Spurs this weekend just gone. And they said the mark of a good, particularly defender, is that if they make a mistake, they can put that mistake out of their mind, that they don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
And Luiz seemed to be trying to make up for the fact he'd really massively fucked up. And Shural kind of had that for me. Like, he'd made some horrendous errors very early on. And He was trying too hard. He wasn't necessarily doing the obvious ball. He was trying to do sort of 30-yard diagonal balls when he had an out 5 yards from him. And it just got worse. And the more mistakes he made, the worse he got. And at halftime, he got the big hooky stick.
Yeah, that's the problem area. I think we'll get onto that later in our half-time report. But right back, I think, is our weakest area on the pitch, and it doesn't help It doesn't help that we alternate, except for one game. We've always alternated between, I believe, Rashdil and Shural.
And Shural, yeah.
And what makes it doubly worse, I think, for Shural is that I believe I might have said in the last podcast that he was our best player against Vítkovice.
No, he was very good.
Because I thought he was. I thought he was doing fantastically at being one of those attacking right wingers that was getting up. But he was just so horrendously out of position the whole game as well. that they were just getting free reign. And it's no surprise. And, you know, Vlashim, for all, you know, the small towns should be, you know, around 12th, 13th, blah, 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 you know, knew exactly what they were doing when they were putting all, like, all their focus was on that part of the pitch.
I think the other thing that meant Shorar's positioning was all over the shop, and actually our whole defence's positioning was all over the shop. Nominally, mm-hmm. Vlashim had lined up with a 4-5-1, but it was a front three. It was a narrow front three, and we haven't really played one of those before, and one or the other was dragging one of the fullbacks out of position all the time, while Dow was happily running rings around both the centre halves. And it was a very professional performance, and a very, you know, they came with a plan and they carried it off perfectly.
We got back into it though. We got back into it at a really good time as well. I think on about 35 minutes or so.
Yep. Should we have some halftime reaction and then we can finish off with this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right, halftime, Zborovka and nice and spicy Vlashim.
Nice.
Good. And we're 2-1 down. What the hell happened?
Well, excellent attacking football, really positive attitude, really nice touches. Zborovka, Brno were also on the field. It's not been good, David.
It's been dreadful. We gave away a penalty within the first minute.
I said on Twitter within the first 10 seconds. It might have been 20
possibly,
or 30.
Possibly true, yeah.
Absolutely poleaxed the poor boy, who then put away a very nice nice penalty, actually, to the to Melkarek's left. Didn't really have a chance. And then later on, I think a lovely bit of counter-attacking play by Vlashim, where they got really down the wings and were basically attacking Shural's position. And Shural has been a fucking nightmare today.
Absolute liability.
And yeah, just got him behind it. It's a ball into the corridor and then it's just tucked away. I think since then we've been better. We've had a good final 15 minutes.
We brought it back to... It's currently 2-1 at half time, but I haven't seen any team come here and line up this aggressively or attack our end this aggressively. There was a goal kick that we had on about 27 or 28 minutes where they had three lads at the edge of our area. You know, normally teams will come here and for our goal kicks they will back almost into their own half, and they are so far up the field and so aggressively positioned. We look rattled.
I feel it's been the story.
We don't know what to do.
Yeah, I feel it's been the story of two players as well for Vlashim. First of all, Nguyen in their goal has pulled off a couple of fantastic, brilliant games, like frog splashy sort of saves or whatever. And their number 22, Youssef Dow, has been. He seems to constantly find space. He's really in your face. He's really fast.
He's up and at him.
And he's playing as a lone striker.
He's. I mentioned this to Sam earlier. Like he's. He's very much not the style of lone striker we've seen in this league. Normally it's just some lump or other. But this guy, like, he's talented, he's technical, he's quick, and he's not afraid to stick his foot in.
Yeah.
He's been very, very good.
In terms of our goal, I think, first of all, the build-up to a few minutes before actually showed a bit of promise. There was a free kick that was taken very well by Iceman that produced another save from Nguyen. And it was something very similar it was a corner, a set piece or something like that that went into the box and then we were able to sort of find the space to tuck it home. And that gives us some hope, I think, for the second half. But my
set pieces have been oddly good, actually, today.
My question to you, David, because I can't answer it myself, would be if it still stays a bit flat like we've been playing, what do we actually do? Because we're without Bartolomeo, without Barish, who's suspended, and we're without Magera. Our only real striker on the bench is Skoda, who's still out, you know, is just coming back from injury, has only played about 25, 30 minutes. And that was also, most of that was chasing a game against Trinidad. What do we actually do to freshen it up?
You're right, there's no Ashiro either.
No, Ashiro's benched. So
Is he benched?
He's okay, on the bench, so we've got him.
We've got just turned 19, Dan Yambor.
Happy birthday,
as well, who has come on and has looked lively in the few games that he's come on. He hasn't started this season, but he came on against Prostoyov, you remember, and he looked very.
I do remember.
Yeah, he looked very lively. So possibly that.
but it remains to be seen. It's half time. It's getting very cold here as well.
It's getting quite nippy as well. We've got 45 minutes ahead, so it's not all bad news. But I think our players need to remember that the winter break for them starts in an hour. It doesn't start now.
Exactly.
So we really need a response.
Yeah.
And so for the second half, if I remember correctly, we didn't put that Stepanowski scored in that, but if it's not there, he did. We came out looking like we might do something, actually.
Yep.
And there was a change of tactics from Vlashim to some extent.
Mm. We went 3-4-3 later on, didn't we? Which was very...
I don't think odd, because if you remember the game against Trinets, what did Schuster do? He tried to basically took off a defender in Trinets and put on Škoda, I believe.
Sure, but
he took off Iceman,
which he did. He did this time. Škoda came on, and Jambor, I believe, came on as well, and.
Yes.
Interestingly, you mentioned you would have liked to have seen a narrower formation, but sending Ashiri through the centre.
I would just like to give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the big thing that is most obvious from this game is not the poor performance per se, even though that is the most obvious thing, but how dead we looked as a team without Magera, Bartolomeo, or... Barish.
I was going to mention this. Much as we say this is a good squad for this league, it is. We can cope with losing one of them. Losing Bart, Magera, Barish all at the same time,
mm-hmm.
We can't cope with that.
Yeah.
I like your point about Ashiru possibly going through the middle at some point. I would love to see that happen because he has... all of the attributes you would want in a winger. He's nippy, he's skillful and so forth, but unfortunately his crossing, which is a key skill, is not fabulous. So I would love to see him give defenders kittens by just running at the middle of them. It'd be really interesting.
I'd say it'd be worth a try. It's never going to happen because I think the one thing that is going to happen and must happen, and again, this is going too much into the next section or whatever, is that... without three or four players, our squad, which is actually quite a big squad, looks paper thin. And you're having to, you know, question at halftime. I think we were questioning each other at halftime, what do you do at this point to change the game around?
That's a very good point, actually. We've mentioned before on the pod that they have people like Krejci and Krijs, who are basically the same person.
Yeah.
Zekel, who is a poor man's Tom the Rusek. Magera is the only big man up front. I mean, Škoda is coming back, but he was never really a sort of a back-to-goal striker in the way that Magera is. Lutonski's barely a footballer. Sorry. That's unfair. I just have a slight bias against him. I've had a very long-term antipathy towards him. So,
dear me,
I know. I'm sorry, Milan. You're not listening to this, but still, if you are,
I mean, of all the people in this game, actually, who I would single out as being bad, I actually wouldn't put Lutonski as one of them.
No, he was.
He got in amongst it for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I've used this cliche before, but. You know, singling out Lutonski as not being bad in this game is like nominating him as the world's tallest dwarf.
Well, it's me that usually tears into Zekel, so...
And where is our beautiful dwarf? He's at Teplice.
Salty dwarf tears.
Salty dwarf tears. Ah, Loisa Hitchka, where are you now? Where are you, Loisa? Teplice.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for indulging me on that. I don't know what went on there, but there we go.
You're several pina coladas in on our beach in Barbados.
That's
on our
true.
Winter break,
yeah, exactly.
So, like we'll fully with it.
Sorry, I seem to have totally put you off your stride there.
I don't know what's going on, David.
I'm sorry about that.
Do I have any more notes on this game? No.
No.
No, well, actually, we should probably say that... all right, I mean, I don't really have any complaints with the scoreline as well.
No,
I think most of the bad work that we did, particularly with our touch in the first half, the damage was already done.
Yep.
It was a particularly slick pitch because it was that fine rain.
Yeah, it was horrible.
That fine rain that soaks you through was all night. But we had, we're talking 3, 4, or 5 fantastic chances with some excellent reaction saves from that Vlahovic keeper. Like, we should have...
Jan Hugo.
We really could have got something out of that game. But at the same time, we shouldn't really be in a position. If we have the squad that's good enough, if we have the drive to get up to the top league again, etc., etc., we shouldn't have to be scraping a point against Vlahovic, which would have been twice, actually, because we were 2-0 down at Vlahovic the first time as well.
It's one of those incredibly frustrating games where you think, if we had have managed to finish off the 3 or 4 chances that fell incredibly close and the keeper hadn't had an absolute Superman of a day, we'd have won that 4 or 5-2, but that would have disguised what was basically a pretty horrendous performance. So, you can't win on this, really.
It was one of those. I think actually, I'm really kind of miffed that we came off a really positive podcast last time where we had 2 wins, one of them away.
Yeah,
saying, "Oh, there's really been a corner." To now talk about 2 defeats, and for both of them, I remember a point. Probably like at least a quarter of an hour or 20 minutes before the before full time whistle.
Well, you can identify.
Like, well, where it's just like, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
It's not happening today.
Yeah.
Like, even when we after that rocket, I think you might have said this even, like, after that rocket from Trinets or whatever, and a few minutes later, it's like,
from Shumbi. Yeah. It's like, we're not. That's it. We're not winning this.
We're not taking anything from this game. So, and that's something that, I mean, I have a lot of faith in the manager
you can
to
see
change it, but. We'll see.
Can see it on the pitch, you know?
Yeah.
As soon as it goes in, everyone just goes, oh, shit. You know? And it's that, and that's the worst thing about it. It really is.
Yeah.
Beer of the podcast.
What is that, though?
What's what?
The music.
Well, that's the new beer of the podcast music that I found that we're going to have behind it to make it sound like. Do you like it?
It sounds a
I
bit
think
like
it's quite nice.
It sounds a bit like that round on Bullseye where they have 3 darts and you know to get the highest score and then. The highest score gets a question.
Well, darts are played in a pub.
Dun, so. Da, dun, da, dun, da, dun, da,
I see where you're going. Yeah. No, I. Yeah. Well, maybe that. I just thought, you know, Beer of the Podcast is a thing now, and it's, you know, it's a separate section.
Yeah.
So we should have a bit of bar-esque music. It's quite nice, isn't it? I quite like it.
What are we drinking?
Well, today, Sam, we are drinking Drifter IPA from the Raven Brewery. Shout out to Ed Quather, who is apparently happily retweeting this nonsense despite knowing nothing about Czech football. So, you know, good on him. Gingerbreads.
The gingerbreads.
It's an IPA from Raven, who were founded in 2015 in Plzeň. So at least it's a town with a good reputation for brewing. It's 5.3% IPA, and it has the little pregnant woman with a red line through it on the bottle. So no pregnant women allowed. I mean, you can probably drink it. You know, she's not actually drinking it. It's just a picture of a pregnant woman with a line through it. So none of those.
It said no women were allowed to have one.
Anyway, there are no other tasting notes apart from there's a picture of some hops. So
smells like IPA.
Smells like IPA indeed. Dude. It's very light coloured, it is. Isn't it? It's very
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's very light coloured. I mean, IPAs normally are, but this, you know, compared to what we've had the last few weeks.
I mean, I live in hope it's better than Feet Beer from last week.
It can't be a lot worse than Feet Beer. Anyway, chin chin. Here we go. Hmm. Weirdly. Combines fruity and spiky to me. It has a weird. It smells unusual. It even smells spiky to me.
It smells unusual.
I don't know how you would describe the smell of spikiness, but that's what it smells like to me. Yeah. It's nice though. I like it.
It smells like an IPA to me, so.
I can never remember if you like or dislike IPAs. I
fucking hate IPAs.
That was what I was sort of afraid of.
I'm very in the craft beer is a load of bullshit column.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, it's drinkable for sure. I mean, I appreciate you buying it for me. That was very nice of you. And I pay you back in Feet Beer and Cornish Steam Lager.
Well, I mean, it was my turn this week. So there was no choice about it. So.
Yeah. But yeah,
Feet Beer and Cornish Steam Lager.
IPAs.
The legacies of your time.
IPAs can fuck off, generally. Like, just. Especially IPAs of the 21st century. Where it's now a big event that you put shitloads of hops in something and you give it a snazzy name and you go around going, oh, wonderful microbrewery here in Brno Jedrzejczyca or, you know, or Prague 11 or something, as if, you know, there's not enough good beer in this country.
My problem generally with microbrewed IPAs and stuff was the same as when I was actually in the States and they had the big, like, it was just taking off. This is about 8 years ago, and it was really, like, getting big. And, you know, they couldn't do anything by halves. If it was a hoppy beer, it had to be the hoppiest thing in the world. If it was, you know, if it was a stout, if it was malty, you had to be able to stand a teaspoon up in it. You know, there was no subtlety to it. And I think it's going a little bit that way here. I mean, this is very drinkable, but I've had IPAs in this country that will turn your face inside out.
It's in its infancy, for sure. We had a very nice, actually, IPA sort of thing in Dresden, which was I liked.
That's true.
Solely because it was far more citrusy than anything else.
And had scattered sort of. What was the stuff they scattered on top that looked like cigarette ash?
Residue from something.
Some kind of apple-y thing on it, wasn't it? That was really tasty.
It was good.
It took me a while to get into it because it was very. Yeah, like harsh. It was very shocking the first time, but yeah, by the time
this has actually become a bit better now. I'm a couple of swigs into it, But in for those, well, none of you'll really know. My hometown in Scotland is actually where BrewDog are, so there's the big BrewDog plants and the stuff, and there's the pub and stuff like that. And I was when I'm back in town, which is Ellen in Aberdeenshire. Shout out the northeast of Scotland. I always go there with my dad. And I can basically, I drink the stout that they have. Their stout's okay. And that's it. Because I hate BrewDog. I mean, I hate their PR nonsense. I mean, they just look like they're slappable. People that are have big hard-ons for BrewDog are just like weirdos, you know, with very trimmed facial hair who, you know, wear corduroy jackets and. Or denim jackets without irony. I just can't be fucked with it, man.
You don't need to iron a denim jacket.
I believe I'm alienating. I'm alienating so I'm, people.
Oh, irony. Right,
yeah,
I see,
I'm alienating people left, right and centre, David. And then you're just sort of like, oh, iron.
Yes. This
will probably go down worse than the time that I said that English football was shit on the podcast.
English football is quite shit, though, to be honest. This actually, the place I got this, it was from the newly developed or redeveloped Tržnice place on Zolnjak. Upstairs there is a place, it's just called the Bottle Shop, I think. It's just a bar with like five fridges behind. And you'll love that because one of the fridges is almost entirely BrewDog.
Mm-hmm.
They are quite big in this country.
They're getting there.
But I mean, at least this is Czech and. It's perfectly serviceable.
Well done to the people of Bilsen.
Oh, am I boring you there?
No, I'm not.
No? All right,
I can't even speak anymore. Let's wrap this up.
Let's do the first half of the season roundup, shall we? So we're going to do a bit of a roundup of what's happened in the second division this season. We are going to do a few specials over the winter break, as previously discussed. One of them is going to be a look back on the first half of the first division as well this year, and how the Czech national team have been doing. Spoilers, not well.
Better. Yes.
Well, yeah, but better, but still not well, necessarily. And we've got a couple of other episodes of specials that we have previously talked about to come. And after, of course, we do this second division first half of the season roundup, we have a belter of an English language tune sung in Czech.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this.
Yeah. So before we get to that, Sam, I know you said you had a surprise for me, but that's not quite yet, is it?
It can be, actually.
All right,
before
go on,
we
then.
Even look at or whatever. So I was thinking,
fold the piece of paper with the table on back up. All right.
We're doing it off our memory. Right. All right. We were talking a bit in our flashy thing about things that the squad needs improvement and so on, and these sort of things. But I have what we called a little, not a quiz, but let's almost call it a David Schmidt award ceremony for the first half of the season. So I am going to give you some categories,
all
and
right.
You're going to tell me your thoughts on them.
Oh, are you now?
How fun's that?
Terrifying.
And this is entirely unscripted.
It is entirely... I'm terrified, to be honest.
So
this has really put me
on
the spot.
Yeah,
like
this is the point.
Right.
So we're going to start you with a very easy one.
Go on.
Which will be, what is your best player of the season so far for Zbrojovka?
It's almost certainly going to be Magic Magera, because I tipped him to be top scorer in this league, you said rather controversially earlier on, and he's currently second.
He's currently second.
So without him, I have no idea where we'd be. Although, shout out to breakout star Tonda Rusek.
Yeah.
Who's been very impressive for such a young man so far.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You?
Mine? It's going to be a sad thing if we just agree with each other for the whole of this or whatever, but I would probably agree, only because of that. I think his attitude is also there as well, and there is some consistency there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really does look like he's been, you know, he's a revelation for this level, and he makes us a more physical side just by being up there. So
yeah.
I would probably say, at least the first half of the season, my player of the season would be Lukasz Magiera.
Okay, good.
Which leads us on to young player of the season so far.
Well, I think Rusek walks that category as well. Although, David Krij, I quite liked as well. He's got a goal, and he is forming a decent partnership with old Barish in the middle there, I think.
You've got my K-men mixed up. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So whoever's normally next to Barish, that looks really impressive.
And Krejci's got three as well.
He's got three goals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, him. I always get those two mixed up.
You do.
Because they're the same person.
You did the last time.
They're the
as
same
well.
Person.
And this is also incredibly annoying because he's also my young player of the
well, there we go.
Player of the season.
Next,
so we are the same people. Okay, here we go. We're getting interested. So this is only for a certain players who were with us, who have been with us for the journey even before this. Which is most improved player.
Most improved player in of people who are not well. I mean. Okay, we've only got a couple of newbies in, but most improved player.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Lord. Lukasz Krzysztofek.
Yeah.
I would say. He came in, January of last season or 2 seasons ago?
2 seasons ago, I think.
And I think he originally came in as a right back, and then he was stuffed into central defence, and he's looked a lot better than Pavlík, who was captain, and he's looked a lot, a much better prospect at centre half than Pavlík. And Are you also going with Krishnu?
No, I thought that was a bit of a weird one, because I would now go with Tonda Rusek, actually.
All right, fair
as
enough.
As well. Because
he didn't have a lot to improve on, though. Like, you know, we didn't see much of him.
I was going to be really controversial and say Milan Lutonski, but I'm going to go with Rusek, actually. No, because I actually think that the last, at least in the latter half of this half, second quarter, I think Lutonski's been quite good.
All right, fair enough.
Do you want one of the banter ones now?
Go on.
Okay, I've called this the, rather than be cruel, whatever, I've called this the room for improvement player of 2018.
Room for improvement player, Pavlik.
Yeah?
Yep. Junk. Absolute junk. Next.
I thought he was magic and wears a magic hat.
He was when he looked like all he could do was, you know, sort of bully large first division centre forwards, and he can't even bully second division centre forwards anymore.
Okay. Okay. That.
For
me, I mean, my one's obvious. My one is Zekel.
Yeah.
Because
You love a bit of Zekel.
Nothing about him looks good. Like, that's the problem. Like, nothing about him looks good. And yeah, he's young, and yeah, he's maybe come up too fast, etc. But I mean, he's just dreck. Like, I want to not go to matches when I see he's on this.
Yeah.
And then I think this leads us into the point that one thing that we do actually need is we need another rotational striker.
We do. I mean, Škoda's coming back into it. We'll see what happens with him after winter, because he had a decent season 3 years ago.
Okay.
And he got sort of 12 or 15 for us and got a move to Rosenborg or Lillestrøm or something, and then he was found out. So now he's back. So hopefully the Czech second division might continue to be his level.
We've got more.
Have we?
We've got the fun ones now.
All right, go on.
So I'd like your... We'll do... For time saving purposes, I'll give you two at once.
Go on.
Which is your best and your worst moment so far?
Best moment... getting to half time 4-1 up on a beautiful weekend evening with my parents here. Uh-huh. That's definitely my best moment of the season so far against, was it Vidkovica?
It was
Tabor, being 4-1 up at half time, seeing three different types of goals with my parents here who were conflicted, let's say, about coming to a game. So that's my best. Worst, Cesc Drahi going to Trinets wasn't great, and this game just gone against Eggs and Bacon Vlashim on a very cold Friday evening. That was pretty ropey.
Yeah.
You?
Mine is our entire day out in Hradec Králové. Because we had some nice...
Good day.
We had some nice beer. Yep. We had a...
Great day.
I've talked about this. The crackling, David. The crackling on that
the
lunch.
Crackling.
And then I went there with zero confidence about getting a result and got a result.
Yep.
And it was great. Our away fans were on good form, and it was fantastic.
It was a laugh, wasn't it, actually? Yeah.
Worst moment so far is the last 4 minutes or 5 minutes away to Prostějov. Which I've never or very rarely come out of a game... Like, I don't know if it's not angry, but just disappointed and
deflated,
just like, you know, and questioning things. And this was time that we were just not looking at making any movement in about ninth in the table as well. Two more for you.
Go on.
What is your goal of the season?
Ooh. Goal of the season, I don't know. I can tell you almost goal of the season, which would have been...
Oh, yeah.
You know which one's coming, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
Bartolomeu's 30-yard volley from the far side of the penalty area.
That against Che Bay, wasn't it?
Against Che Bay. That, if that had gone in, that... Oh, dear me.
Yeah,
that would have been absolutely... an absolute belter. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a goal of the season, I don't think, so far.
It's good. I cheated a bit.
Go on.
I'm going for Yehlava second against us. The one that was absolutely sort of hits it on the semi-volley.
Oh, that was a blinder, wasn't it? Yeah, good shot. That right at the beginning of the season as well.
Yeah.
If it were us, though,
I would probably go for Barish's equaliser against Pardubice for just how the swerve that he gets on the ball and going through the bodies as well.
Also, shout out for Barish's goal early on against Noimo.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Good hit as well.
Forgot about that one almost.
Yeah.
And finally,
yeah,
this one might take a bit of thinking or whatever, but I've just put down banter moment of the season.
Banter moment of the season. It doesn't involve banter because I don't really run the Twitter that much, but I did like my Red Dead Redemption meme today. I'm sorry.
Well, the thing is, I love your commitment to the craft, David, of like your banter moment of the whole half of the first season has been you posting on a a Red Dead Redemption meme at about 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah. All right, okay. One thing I did like is when we finally got into the stadium in Trinets, you very quietly, sort of tentatively did, "You're just a small town in Poland." I shouted that "You're just a shit town in Poland" and got sort of a lot of laughs from the slightly swarthy bunch of teenagers to our left. I quite enjoyed that. That was quite good.
Just hit my knee off the coffee
just
table.
Just booted the coffee table there.
So sorry for that if you're listening to headphones.
So what was your banter moment of the season?
See, I don't know. But
right, great.
But I'm thinking about it. My banter moment of the season might be the dreadful performance of De Domov Mui on the 100-year anniversary of the Republic.
That was very good.
And then getting followed up immediately
hijacking it with the Moravian anthem.
It's not even the Moravian anthem. It's just a song about how good South Moravia is.
It was like, good. It was a good moment.
It was great. And I might be making this up and embellishing this for the record, but I'm pretty sure it ended with like a bunch of Mordves Spartia stuff as well. Like...
I don't think it finished with that, but it was definitely, it may have finished with that, or it may have finished with a very kind of aggressive bit of Luzhanki love or something.
That, or away to Ustina Labem, where I met a friend that I've not seen for about 6 years. That was another
non-football related, but a brilliant coincidence.
Getting greeted with a Czech try to do a terrible approximation of a thick Glaswegian accent, being like, "How are you cunt?" It was great.
That was good.
That was brilliant.
Actually, Usti all round was a good trip.
Usti was a great experience. That's probably the highlight of that, or Hradec Králové. Or actually, we had a good trip. I mean, despite the result, we had a good trip as well to Pardubice, where we probably should have won, but it was a good town.
Nice day out. And shout out to Zizkov and the party of Burnley-based Stag fan.
Of course!
Stag party who accidentally ended up in the Bono end.
And they're all still loyally following our account, at least on Twitter.
All right, lads.
And hoping still that they'll be able to make a journey and see Zborovka at home. But that was also a good day.
We're causing chaos left, right and centre here. Making friends all over the place.
Absolute worst was Prostyov, not just for the result, but just the general demeanour of the town, the afternoon, the terrible lunch.
Yeah, there's nothing there, man. Sorry, Sean, for that one.
So that's basically my list or whatever.
Are we doing any actual analysis, or are we just sticking with this?
Well, I think we actually deserve to have a bit, because I would quite like to ask you, and put you again on the spot, about what you would like to see happen with Zborovka, presuming that we do something in a transfer window.
I would like to see the semi-mythical Jakub Prychistal get back into the first team if that's indeed what he is doing. I don't know about transfers because I have no idea how much money we have or haven't got, but I would like to see Chico slowly introduced back into the team. I would also really like a proper number 10. That's not Tonda Rusek.
Like, no, yeah, not like a false 10.
Yeah,
like
a proper number 10 to slot in between midfield and the forwards so that we have the option to go two up top with a creative midfielder behind him. Mm-hmm. That's me for that. You? Any?
Right, frugal. I want loads of signings. And I
bet you do.
No, I want loads of signings only because we have gone through, and I mean, right, we'll have a robust analysis now, actually. We are seventh in the league. We are 12 points off Česká Budějovice at the top. And we are, I believe, 7 or 9. I think it's 9. Let me unfold the paper. No, it's great. It's 7 from Hradec Králové in third, and that's right. A playoff place. Advantages of that being that we are way behind the... Well, we're way behind the automatic spot, but we're really still within touching distance of these playoffs or whatever, with everyone else, you know, still to play them or whatever, proper six-pointers. So it's not doom and gloom yet, but we've achieved, if you can say achieved, getting seventh, by going through three coaches, so to speak,
yeah,
within the space of about 16 games. And I would only want a lot of signings, even if they're loans and even if they don't work, to allow Schuster a chance to actually put his mark on this team a bit more if he feels it's necessary.
Yeah, I think it would be nice to see, because, yeah, as you said earlier, we've got a large squad but not a lot of options, weirdly. And I would like to see the ability to have them different shapes. Mm-hmm. I think different shapes is the way to go, because everyone is very one-dimensional,
yeah,
at the moment. And it would be lovely to have options to, yeah, maybe put a number 10 behind a 2 with a narrow midfield 3, mm-hmm, to have one out-and-out winger on one side and a kind of a, you know, a sort of narrower, yeah, thing on one side with a fullback pushing up. It would be nice to basically be able to mix it up a bit.
That's interesting because, yeah, we don't have choices, but the one place that I think we do have all the choices is midfield. Mm-hmm. So what I would want as a bare minimum, and even with Skoda getting better, and even with Gomez being on the sidelines or whatever, I want a right back, and I would like, an actual number 10 would be fine with me as well, but someone else who, if Magueira is injured or out, and he has been worryingly quite a bit in the last 4 or 5 games.
He's getting on though as well, to be fair.
Yeah, but if he's out, we don't have Zekel, basically. And I know this is my long-term vendetta against Zekel because I think he's garbage, but I don't think anyone that's seen Zbrojovka this season could really disagree with me, mm-hmm, in that I just think that even at this level, and because of his youth or inexperience or whatever, he's poor.
Yeah.
And he doesn't offer us anything. I want someone that's going to offer us, or who's going to give us, like, even half a dozen goals.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's just a body on the pitch.
Yeah.
He adds almost nothing. Anyway, we are going to do an episode in a couple of weeks, which will be a much more in-depth look at the teams in the second division and the first division. Basically a kind of a Czech league roundup. We might even, if we're feeling very brave, dip into the third division.
I would like to dip into third, because I know a wee bit about that.
CSFL and the MFL.
You know what I would even do?
What's that then?
And this is actually a call out already.
Go on.
Is that if they are listening, I would like various individuals, namely Ralph and the Blansko Klobasa, to give us the roundup of what the fourth league in South Moravia is looking like.
That's a really good shout, actually.
Because they are absolutely flying in that division.
Yeah, if anybody listening, because we have a few people listening who are, you know, Czech lower league football fans now, if anybody wants to give us an idea of what's going on, or even, you know, come on and chat about what's going on in your league, that will be absolutely superb, because we've got 3 months to fill. And we need things to talk about. And any people who would like to come on, that will be absolutely fantastic. Other than that, we're going to wind up today with a bit of an English song sung by a Czech artist. And it's a, you know, to finish the first half of the season, this is a belter.
Fantastic.
Isn't it? It really is.
It's time for us to, it's getting a bit, the sun's going down on our beautiful beach in Barbados. So we're now going to, retire to the tiki bar or whatever
that
is.
The tiki bar, is that what we're calling it?
Show me the way to the next tiki bar. We're going to retire there with our cocktails and
actually we're gonna dance around like idiots to this and piece of genius.
Remember, if you don't already, follow us on Facebook
and Twitter. And I have been David.
And I have been Sam for once.
I hope you will also be dancing around on your imaginary beach to this. See you later. Prima hit.